just lift our hands and praise Him. Shout unto God in the voice of triumph. Come on down, let's worship.
You turn praise into glory. You turn.
believe that today? the storm, push through the crowd. We want to see a breakthrough. Tear off the roof, lower me down. Whatever it takes to get me to you. Roll every stone, push through the crowd. God, I want to see a breakthrough. Tear off the roof, lower me down. Whatever it takes to get me to you. Roll every stone, push through the crowd. God, I want to see a breakthrough. Oh, tear off the roof, lower me down. Whatever it takes to get me to you. Roll every stone, push through the crowd. God, I want to see a breakthrough. Oh, Lord, tear off the roof, lower me down. Whatever it takes to get me to you. Roll every stone, push through the crowd. Testimonies before we go to this next song. I live stories that have proved your faithfulness. You know, some of the most astounding things over the years that I've seen. I know when we were in Portland, Oregon, there was a woman who came that they had given just a few days to live. And God put that cancer in remission while we were in that meeting out there. Then years ago, some of us remember a little boy came that was probably around 9 or 10 years old at the time, and they told him he would never be normal. He would never play baseball. He would never be able to play basketball. He couldn't go outside and play with the other kids. Came all the way from Florida because they believed God would work a miracle. And I never will forget. We prayed for him, laid hands on him. He went back home, and a little over a year later, they brought him back, and he brought a picture up to the platform, and he said, "See this, Pastor? He had on a baseball uniform. He was normal. He played sports like every other kid." We had a little girl named Angie down here that had an incurable muscle disease. She was on crutches. Anybody remember her? And she came to the altar and she was prayed for. No more crutches. No more disease. It left her body. Praise God. God healed her by his presence and power. You know, when we think about testifying of God's goodness and his power, think about him bringing Deborah through cancer. I think about, you know, Billy Vaden, who had that head-on accident. They said he wouldn't make it to Winston-Salem. His head had already swelled up like a basketball. 3 days he was home. God worked a miracle. He turned it around. So you came too late to tell me that he doesn't do it. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody say he's still a miracle worker.
About 5 months ago, y'all prayed for me for my heart. And I went back, got a checkup, and I don't have AFib no more.
Amen.
That was one part of a dream I had. It would happen. I had a dream, and it's a two-part dream. And I pray that y'all pray with me. There's a second part of the dream will come. The Lord don't do nothing halfway. That's what I got to say this.
Amen. We're waiting on part B, part two. Yes, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
If you need a miracle this morning, it's a good time to believe it for you. I'll live stories that proved your faithfulness. I've seen miracles my mind can't comprehend. There is beauty in what I can't understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles we see, good to not believe. I can't resurrect a man with my own hands, but just the mention of your name can raise the dead. All the glory to the only one who can. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the We've seen cancer disappear. We've seen broken bodies heal. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen real life resurrection. We've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen families reunited. We've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We see troubled souls delivered. We see addicts finally free. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We see cities in rest. Release your miracles, Lord. Release your healing today, Jesus. Release your power, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus. You never change, you never change. The God of miracles. Yes, you are, Lord. Salvation flood the streets.
Hallelujah.
Don't you tell me he can't do it.
No, no.
Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see glory fill the nations like the world has never seen. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. And we've seen troubled souls delivered. Too good to not believe. If you believe that, give him a praise right now. Yes, Lord. You know, the Bible tells us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know what we need to do? We need to pray until the heavens shift things, until drugs, immorality, godlessness is shifted out. Somebody say amen. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that The Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflowing this place, fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Over the low in this place, fill our hearts with your love. Your we'll be right back. miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is near. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Come on, you believe that today? Give Him praise and glory. Yes, Lord.
Is the Lamb of God. We ask the ushers to come up. We're going to take our tithe and offering. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to give, Father, and we're just thankful to be given for the upbuilding of your kingdom in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. He's here right now. Somebody say, He's here right now. I was thinking about what the Holy Spirit, you know, Him flowing and moving upon hearts and lives this morning. You know, whatever that you need, God's here to do it. Whatever the need is, whatever the miracle is, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you reach out in faith right now and believe God. I said you reach out in faith and believe God. Everybody reach your hand up toward Him. Right? Let's stand together again. Just reach your hands up high and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that I receive today. I believe for my miracle. I believe for my healing. I believe for this God. In the name of Jesus, we give you the praise for it, Father. Amen and amen and amen. Turn and greet somebody and shake their hand this morning and say, man, you look good. Say, you smell good. Say, I may be at a distance, but. And then you can be seated this morning. Amen. You know, how many believe are believing God for the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord? Amen. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. You know, we've been praying, you know, for a long time, years, ever since I've been born again, you know, for revival, the revival that we want to see, the revival that we want to see, the end time harvest, where I believe that God has extracted everything from every past move of God and is bringing it together for the last move. I don't know what you think about the Siamese. As you think about everything that we've ever heard, every great awakening, first, second, third, this last one is going to be greater than anything we've ever experienced. It's going to be different from anything we've ever experienced. I think about, you know, the things that I've just seen God do myself. Some people, you know, they say, well, I don't know whether that happened or not. Well, I was there. I've seen God raise the dead.
I've seen it happen in my service. I had a man die. See, I'm just like this song that we're singing this morning. You know, I've experienced this because I was real questionable whether to sing this or not. And I said, Lord, I want to make sure I've seen all of these things. And so God, see, that comes from what happens out here, from getting your faith stirred up and tuned into heaven. If you get tuned into heaven, if you come in agreement, there's nothing that heaven cannot release. Do you know that we can believe God right now for just anything and it'll walk through the door? Heaven, it'll drop out of heaven. Amen. When faith meets and collides with God, something awesome is going to happen. A miracle is going to take place. See, even this song that we're singing, you know, it's like the Spirit of the Lord is here. He's here because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where he is made to be Lord, so you make the Holy Ghost Lord in this house. And he'll have his way. Amen. But Deborah's got something she's going to read this morning. Man, this is really good. This is really good.
Amen. You know, I was thinking, actually, we've given our lives here to this place. We have sowed our very best years, everything to this place. Could we have gone somewhere else? Could we have done something different? Could we have had probably bigger ministry? Maybe so, but we've sown our lives here. And so have many, many, many of you, not just us. What's what God said to do. But I want to read you something that I found in Charisma, on the very recent article. And all of you that are going through Kaneo, I wish everyone was in Kaneo. I really do. Learning the moves of God, it's so, so important. And just to be reminded of it. Say, well, I've heard that. You've heard it. I've heard it too. But we can always hear it again. Amen. But let me have the glasses and listen to this. Yeah, these. All right. Many Christians pray for spiritual awakening, and that's good. But I wonder if we realize how disruptive revival will be when it hits us like a tsunami. If you read accounts of previous revivals, three things become obvious. Number one, revival requires a lot of work. Number two, it's always chaotic. And three, it offends religious people. It's not always welcome in traditional churches. Just read the account of the revival in Samaria in the book of Acts. There was nothing orderly about it because the Samaritans had been entrenched in occult practices. Many of them were set free from demons, and the evil spirits were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice. Then after the apostles arrived from Jerusalem, a prominent sorcerer named Simon offered to buy the Holy Spirit's power, and Peter rebuked him. The arrival of Christianity completely unplugged Simon's deception. When the Azusa Street Revival began in Los Angeles in 1906, many mainstream Christians labeled it as heresy, either because they didn't believe in speaking in tongues or because white Christians were worshiping in the same building with black believers. When the Jesus Movement began in the 1960s, many traditional Christians closed their doors because they couldn't handle long-haired hippies with love beads visiting their sterile church buildings. When the Charismatic Movement hit mainline Protestant Catholic churches at the same time, religious people got offended when backslidden believers suddenly got excited about Jesus. When those newly revived Christians began raising their hands in worship and sharing Jesus openly, they were shunned. Revival is a clash of two kingdoms. When the light of Jesus is the darkness of sin, all hell breaks loose. Demons cause a ruckus. Sorcerers come out of the woodwork. Paralyzed people walk. Hallelujah. Yes. The blind see, drug addicts get delivered, new converts weep over their sins, angry unbelievers start riots, and angry religious people slam their doors on the Holy Spirit. And all of this happens at once. We are overdue for another move of the Holy Spirit. Because so much darkness has become entrenched in our culture, it's going to be messy when God's power hits us again. Are you ready for it? Here are just a few things I'm expecting to see in the next season. Number one, many demons will come out. Scroll through Twitter or TikTok and you'll see ample evidence that people today are full of unclean spirits. Even non-Christians recognize that the bizarre behavior we see in our culture isn't normal. They know it's more than mental illness. Only Jesus can free these tormented people from their rage. The next revival will be marked by supernatural deliverance from evil spirits. Number two, healings will be both physical and emotional. Many Americans today are traumatized by abuse, abandonment, and depression. We've never seen more medicated. Young people from broken homes are dealing with unprecedented levels of emotional pain, resulting in attention problems, anxiety disorders, sleeplessness, sexual confusion, gender dysphoria, and a long list of addictions. We can't just offer Band-Aids for these problems. We must be prepared to roll up our sleeves, listen to the pain, and heal the heartbroken. Yes. Number three, we will see unusual creative miracles. And I'm about to burn up here, but sometimes when the Spirit of God gets on me, I get to sweat. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it just rolls off me. I'm like, God, please manifest it in another way. We will see unusual creative miracles. Suppose God touches a young woman who has been through gender reassignment surgery, but now she wants a relationship with Jesus. Her body has been butchered and her immune system has been ravaged by hormone therapies. Oh, yeah. I won't be surprised when the Lord totally heals people in these predicaments.
Amen. Yes. Woo. Glory to God.
Number four, altars will be filled, but they will be noisy. Revival will always bring a wave of repentance. But when people come to the cross to find forgiveness from Jesus, don't try to muffle the loud reactions. Tears will flow, and sometimes people who have been in the grip of spiritual bondage will wail or scream. We can't be unnerved by the chaos that happens when sinners encounter the mercy of God. Number five, we might have some bonfires. In ancient Ephesus, the message of Jesus made such a dramatic impact on the people that they began burning their occult books in the sight of everyone. Radical repentance requires radical actions. I won't be surprised if we see altar calls in which converts delete apps on their phones and make a trash heap of fentanyl pills, methamphetamines,
yes,
syringes, pornography, and sexual paraphernalia.
Praise God. Amen.
Number six, we will likely have riots. When the gospel exploded on the scene, yes, in the first century, not everyone was excited about the message. The book of Acts describes riots that erupted in Lystra, Thessalonica, Achaia, Ephesus, and Jerusalem. The devil knows how to stir up strife, but we can't let the negative reaction stop us. We might face vandalism, protest, bomb threats, or violence, but the same God who protected the early church will sustain us. Revival is serious business. Don't expect it to be sweet and a comfortable breeze. Revival is like a tornado that transforms the world as well as the church. Please prepare your hearts now.
Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 Woo. Everybody say, get ready. Amen. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. All you soldiers of the cross. Was it stretch forth the royal diadem, crown, Lord of all? Amen. Game plan. Everybody say game plan. Does that mean there's a plan in there? Yes. It's not for the Super Bowl. It's for the Gold Bowl. That's God's. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 24. I want to remind you this evening we'll have the Patrick County Praise Team here. Be with us at 6 o'clock. I'm expecting all of you to be here. I'm going to minister tonight. I have a word that I believe God has given me for this time, for tonight. And so I want you to be here. I need you to be here. And so we're going to believe the Lord to move. Believe the Lord is going to speak, you know, to the youngest to the oldest. Amen. And we're going to see God do some great things. So that's where the goal plan's at, right here. Amen. So don't miss that service this evening. Somebody say, I will not miss it. Amen. Say, I will not miss it. That's better. One more time. I will not miss the meeting. All right. And if you want to see a miracle tonight, be here. Because I'm planning on getting it done in 15 to 20 minutes. Boom, that's it. Somebody say, that'll be a miracle. Amen. Matthew 24, verse number 3. And as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be? What shall be? Everybody stay there saying, what shall be, Lord? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Father, thank you for your word. I ask your Holy Spirit to come and touch us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We say we desperately need your help today, Lord. Guide every thought, guide every word, and I pray, Lord Jesus, whatever you want to do, Lord, we just say, let it be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not mine, not anybody else's, but yours. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. I think and understand what I'm saying. I know everybody's nervous. They're saying, my God, I mean, how long is he going to preach? I think that's the big thing, you know. But, you know, seriously, you know, and what Deborah was reading this morning, you know, when the Lord comes, all our agendas need to stop. Everything. Throw it to the wind. Whatever that he wants. Whatever that he wants. Amen. And so the disciples are asking this age-old question. And probably one of the things that you will begin to hear more and more and more as time moves forward is about the coming of the Lord. But I can tell you right now, the coming of the Lord is so multifaceted. There's so many sides of it. There's so many things involved in it, so many signs that are given. And so tonight, that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight, are the signs of the Lord's return. But here they ask him, and most of the world is asking right now, what, Lord, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Because in the Hebraic mindset, they were thinking, you know, that they were coming into that new age where Messiah was going to come. But he was there. Somebody say he was there. I think about that in parallel to the move of God. And most people are saying, man, when are we going to have the move? The move is here. The move is here. See, God wants us to shift from asking to shift from saying, it's now. See, when Jesus came, this is the first thing that he declared. He declared the kingdom of God is here now, right here, before you. And so he didn't pray for it, he declared it. And so we want to declare the kingdom now. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And the more that we pray that and the more that we declare it, we're going to see those kind of effects take place in the world. Because you can't declare the will of God be done on earth as in heaven without having a holy invasion from heaven come to this earth and change things. Amen. I remember back in the 1980s when I was traveling, I had an alcoholic to come to service that night. He was drunk. Came into the service stumbling, smelled and reeked of alcohol. When the altar call was given, he came down front. And most people were like this. Man, we know him. God saved that man. Listen, saved him. Sucked all the alcohol out of him, took the smell out, wasn't even on his breath, baptized him in the Holy Ghost. That's full deliverance. And everybody said, now listen, this is what people said. Well, I hadn't never seen nothing like that. Get ready. You're getting ready to see something like that. Amen. And so, Lord, you know, that's a sign of his coming right there. Amen. And so in their mindset, in the mindset of the coming of the Lord, and I think, you know, this morning I'm thinking about the coming of the Lord. We want Jesus come. Lord, move in the house, God. We just want you here. He's here. I've got to believe that Jesus is here. I can't see him with my eyes, but I feel him on my body. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I know this morning, you know, when we were in prayer, I felt the fire of God in my arms, and I just felt the presence of the Lord, you know, upon me. And I said, my God, this is strong, Lord. This is powerful. And so oftentimes we're begging for Jesus to stop by. We're like blind Bartimaeus, who knew that the Lord was there. He was a blind man. Get this. Everybody else had eyes. Get it? They saw Jesus. He was walking. Do you think that blind Bartimaeus was the only blind man or the only sick person in that massive crowd that was there when Jesus was coming into town? I certainly don't, but blind Bartimaeus, a blind man naturally who could not see, had enough sense to say, Jesus, you're here. You're not going to leave until you come to me. I've got to have your touch. My eyes have got to be opened. I've got to have my breakthrough because, Lord, you are here. And this is what the religious spirit does. Shut up. First thing the religious thing wants to do is shut it down. Begin to complain. Begin to moan. Begin to groan. The music's too loud. The preacher preached too long. It's too hot in the building. I might agree with that. I don't like the way that they dressed. I don't care what they look like. Listen, I say, I don't care if they're naked. You get them here, we'll put some clothes on them. Are you hearing me? He didn't have eyes. Everybody else did, the ones that were sick and diseased. Jesus is already there. They could see him with their physical eyes, but none of them had enough on the inside to cry out. They were so enamored by everything that was around them. They were so overcome by the world and their problems and their circumstances. They could not recognize who he was. Blind Bartimaeus didn't miss his time. You remember a few weeks back, and I preached to you on the Kairos moment. It is that foreordained time that God has set when something awesome is going to take place. Do you know that the church is in a Kairos moment right now, that God has ordained certain foreordained events to take place? One of those is Holy Ghost, God sent, God ordained, devil kicking, devil stomping, devil casting out, God exalting, Jesus uplifting, soul winning, bondage breaking, sin setting free. Holy Ghost power! Come on, yes. And that's something for me to get excited about. I don't know about you, but I don't like just coming to church and hanging out. I love you guys. I like being around people. But God, give me Scotland or I die, as the man said. Give me Holy Ghost fire. Give me Holy Ghost anointing. Lord Jesus, come into my midst. Just walk up and down the aisles. And I can tell you right now, he's here. His presence is moving. And see, what I'm telling you right now is, do not let Jesus pass you by. You got to have more than physical eyes and physical ears in your head. You got to have supernatural spiritual eyes and spirit ears that Jesus has given to you through his Holy Spirit. And this morning, we want to hear him. We want to hear him because his footsteps is what blind Bartimaeus heard. He didn't have eyes to see. He said, he's here. I feel something. I know he's near. I know he's coming into my presence. He's coming into my zone. Where do you need him to come? He's there. The old song, he's as close as the mention of his name. He tells us in Isaiah, I'm not a God this far off. I'm a God at hand. My eye is not blind that it can't see. My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. And my arm is not short that it cannot save. See, he's telling us today, wherever you're at, he can reach you. On the back row, he can reach you. My God, man, when I evangelize people, you know how people are. I just walk down the aisle. That's when the wireless mics came out. You might get a breaker 19 before you got back at the back, but Because that rascal pick up anything. The FM station. Shake, rattle, and roll. Amen. It's been a hard day's night. Somebody say that tells you how ancient the microphones were. But I loved it, man. You could just walk down the aisle where they were and preach right beside them. See, that's what Jesus does. He comes to where we are. Amen. I said he comes to where we are. He comes to where we are. I can tell you, don't let him pass by. And see, these disciples are saying, Lord, what's going to be the sign of your coming? What's going to be the sign of the end of the age? And Jesus says, don't be deceived. I can tell you this morning, God does not want you to be deceived. But this one thing is that Jesus is present right now. I don't care how much hell, how much darkness, how much evil breaks out in the world. There is a light through the Son of God that is shining in the midst of people's darkness. Why do we focus on stuff like darkness, gloom, doom? Because we live in it. We need to be reminded of the fact that that it's all around us. But we cannot let it become a part of us. When Isaiah had his encounter with God, remember what he said? When the glory of the Lord showed up in the temple, he said, Lord, I am a man that's undone. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. I have unclean lips. I'm a man that's messed up. I've got sin in my life. See, we don't know that until God shows up. Isn't it amazing today that the devil does not want men of God to preach the truth? You know why? Because he knows if truth's not preached, you're not going to know whether you're in sin or not. And so preachers get labeled as, man, you're too hard. You shouldn't say that. No, you're like that bunch under the old covenant with that prophet that said, look, don't you prophesy unto us that hard stuff. You give us something smooth and palatable, something that won't mess with us. Well, that's not going to move you out of your sin. It's not going to move you closer to Jesus. And you're not going to know whether you're lukewarm or not unless somebody shakes you a little bit. Come on. We got to be like Bartimaeus. He's here. He's here. Say the cog that squeaks the loudest is the one that gets old first. Amen. See, there's a lot of truth in that little statement. And Bon Bartimaeus had a squeaky cog. Yes, Jesus! Jesus! Man, there's something about saying that name and all hell knows when you say it. He starts crying out. Why? Because he knows that's my chance. My God, if I'm bound to drugs, I got to get to him. If I'm an alcoholic, I got to get to him. Why? Because I've been to the counseling sessions. I've been to the 10-step programs. I've taken the medicine to try to help me get off of it. Hello, somebody. I've tried to get rid of all the paraphernalia. I've done all the things, to get free from the bondage. But still and yet, it calls out to me from the grave. It's calling me. Join me. You be dead with me. You be dead along with me. But Jesus is calling us to life, and he's calling us to righteousness. He's calling us to absolute freedom. No wonder the Bible says, beautiful are the feet of those that publish good tidings, of those that preach good news. I'm going to tell you what, you know what? You need a preacher. You need a preacher. You need a preacher. What do you mean? My God, if somebody hadn't preached to me, I'd have never got born again. It's because somebody preached to me that in my lowest moment in life that I heard Jesus calling me to repentance. When I was wanting to die, he was calling me to life. Are you listening to me? If somebody hadn't preached to me and told me that I was in sin and told me that I was lost without God, if somebody hadn't done that, I would have had nothing on the inside for the Holy Spirit to use. You need a preacher. And so you need somebody to tell you this is the sign of the coming of the Lord. Don't be deceived. What does that mean? You don't need God. I mean, do you believe all that Jesus stuff? Do you believe the Bible is really the inspired word of God? Do you really believe that somebody as a virgin can give actually birth to a child? I mean, come on. What kind of baloney is that? Do you believe that this book is the infallible, inspired word of God? I mean, my goodness, I mean, there were all these authors in here, 37 different authors, 27 different authors that wrote this thing. And oh, how in the world could they be breathed on by God? Do you believe that baloney? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? Oh, do you believe there's a God? Do you believe there's a devil? Hogwash. There is a big sect of America. There's a big sect of in the world today, in America as well, that do not believe what I've just told you. Amen. They're like doubting Thomas. Well, you didn't accept. I see a sign. Show me a sign. Well, Antichrist is going to be full of them. It's going to be so supernatural, such deception. It's such supernatural deception. It's going to be like Adam and Eve in the garden. Man, when the devil shows up, this reptilian creature that's walking in the garden, he's an alien. Are you listening to me? They've never encountered nothing like him before. This snake walks up and starts talking. He's the same individual that deceived a third of an innumerable host of angels in heaven to follow after him. See, Adam and Eve didn't know what to expect, and I can guarantee you this one thing. When they ate that forbidden fruit and sin came upon humanity, but thank God Jesus died on the cross for us, that we can have a remedy for that. But we go forward in time. I can tell you that the deception of the last days will be so supernatural that people will fall for it, swallow it whole, believe it, and live it. Amen. That's what he said. Supernatural deception. Darkness. Darkness upon the face of the earth. Darkness upon the people. But see, you need a preacher. Blind Bartimaeus had a preacher. I said, blind Bartimaeus had a preacher. How would he have known? Jesus, thou son of David. He said, Fred, Joe. No, he said, Jesus, son of David. He said, you are the Messiah, you're the deliverer, and I'm not budging until you come and open my blinded eyes. I've been waiting on you to get here. I heard you were coming to town. I heard that you were on your way. And the moment that I heard the scuffling of feet, I felt something all over my body that told me that you were here. Yes, I could hear it scurrying in the streets. You better listen to me. Humanity is going to have an outcry. They're going to want to know Jesus, the Son of God. They're going to begin to cry out to the Son of God. They're going to say, please help me, God. Deliver me from this mess that I'm in. Because the world is in a mess. Blind Bartimaeus didn't let his moment pass. See, in the end times, we can't let our moment pass. Mm-mm. We cannot let our moment pass. Jesus is here. He's in the church. He's here. He's built it so strong the gates of hell should not prevail against it. There's not a demonic force that can take you out unless you let him. But if you listen to his lies and his deceptiveness and you follow after him and you cave into the flesh, guess what? You'll find yourself on the outside looking toward the inside. Don't be deceived. This is what Jesus is saying. Realize who you are. Bartimaeus recognized, man, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. And this thing that has plagued me all of my life, I am blind and I cannot see. I am about to be delivered from it. It's about to leave me and I'm never going to be the same again. My life is about to change. Come on now, somebody. I can tell you this morning, you're about to have an encounter with the Christ. You're about to have an encounter with Jesus. Things are about to change. He's about to walk into your spiritually blind life and open your eyes and allow you to see His glory and His presence and His power like you've never seen Him before. And when He shows up, He's going to have healing in His hands. Come on. Fire in His eyes. Deliverance in His voice. Man, I love this. Nothing else mattered. The people telling him to shut up. We don't want the move of God. It's too messy. Don't be deceived. Well, I don't believe in that speaking in tongues. Hoorah. Katarada mahashaya. I don't believe in all that casting out devils. That's because you got one. It's like Deborah yesterday. She was at some place in Martinsville, and some guy got out the car and started screaming and yelling and manifesting. Took it, ripped his shirt off. I said, should roll down the window. Come out, you devil! Amen. He's about to manifest himself. See, this is the thing about he's here. He's here. I said, Jesus is here. Amen. He's here. Amen. He's here. Amen. See, when I got born again, I was so used to being raised in the first church of the frozen. And I appreciate, some of the things that they said and the disciples of Christ. Absolutely. You know what they taught me? The disciples of Christ? Those little gray-headed ladies that taught Sunday school and VBS and those things. They talking about Jesus and the cross. As a little kid. How many heard that in VBS? Jesus and the cross. Raise your hand. Thank you. See, but that stuff matters. I said that matters. Blind Bartimaeus. All he needed to hear was this. One sentence. Bring him to me. You don't want to be brought to me. And you don't want to be brought to Brother Hughes. You want Jesus to say, bring them to me. Bring him to me. Because he can help you. This is his house. This is his presence. And see, the religious spirit will say, man, don't you get around that. You're crazy. They're crazy. They're crazy. Listen, I know what crazy is. I've been there. Crazy is keep on drinking. Crazy is keep on staying out all night. Crazy is keep on doping. Crazy is keep on rioting, riotous living, and just doing it over and over and over again and losing every single day. Having things taken from you every single day. That's crazy. Insanity. Yeah. It's when you become born again that things begin to be deposited in you. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh God, don't let my moment pass by. Don't be like the Pharisee. Lord, I'm a righteous man. I fast 3 times a week. My God, I never miss a church service. You know, I've met people like that. I was evangelizing one time in the South Boston, Virginia, had a guy to come up and tell me this. I love the church. Matter of fact, every time I get here, I kiss the steps. I said, you do? He said, yes, I always kiss the steps before I come into church. I called a pastor back about 2 weeks later. And I was talking to him about something. I said, oh, by the way, I said, that man down there, the one that says he loves church so much, he kisses the steps every time he comes. He said, oh, my God. He said he got in a fist fight in the parking lot the other night. I don't want to hear how religious you are or how righteous you are. Listen, I've had too many people say, I'll follow you everywhere you go. You see them behind me? They're not even in church. I'll carry your books. I'll wash your feet. I'm saying, no, you ain't. I can't stand nobody around me that much. Amen. blind Bartimaeus, he would not let his moment pass. See, this thing about the signs of the end. We get so caught up and wanting to know stuff that doesn't really matter that much at the particular time. They asked the same question when Jesus was ascending into heaven. Lord, will you at this time restore again your kingdom? And what did Jesus say? No, I already told you. Basically, it's what he says. And he's ascending up and going out of the sky. See, but this is what he told him. He said, but this is what I want you to do. Get yourself down to the upper room, get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, and then you'll know what to do. Amen. Amen. And see, that's what we need more than anything else. But see, when Blind Bartimaeus came and he cried out to Jesus, he was not going to let his moment pass by. See, we're sitting in the house of God this moment, and we think that we're just here out of obligation. We think we're here, you know, because it's the thing to do on a Sunday morning. Come to God's house. You should, because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews not to forsake yourself the assembling together. As the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he tells you that as you see the coming of the Lord drawing nigh, or the signs coming to pass for his coming, you see the world messed up like it is right now, know that his coming is near and that I need to be in the house of God. Because I need to be somewhere other than a man ripping his shirt off in a parking lot, cussing and screaming at the top of his voice. That made her want to go home. I'm coming back to my house where I got peace at. So blind Bartimaeus was not going to let his moment pass. Jesus saying, hey, you can't let this moment pass. He said, I'm going to give you the rundown of how things are going to be. And he said, these are going to be all the troubles and all the woes that exist in the world in which you live. These are them. Deception, earthquakes, you know, pestilences, famines, all this kind of stuff. And he says, when you see all this stuff coming to pass at the same time, he said, know this. He said, when you see it layer upon layer, falling one upon another, it's like before one scene leaves, the other has already fallen upon it. And he said, they're just piling up. He said, when you see this happen, he said, you know that my coming is really near. Well, it's kind of parallel to the world. Because we see one thing, immorality, we see the lawlessness, we see the corruption, but we don't see it come in one door and exit the other. We see when the door opens, there's three or four more things that jump on top of it. And then you find out that inflation has got most of your check. And you found out, Brother Dalton told me he got his oil tank filled up the other day, and it was $6 and something a gallon. $6.25 a gallon. I've been outside laying hands on that tank. Lord Jesus, you put oil in the woman's pot. Amen. I'm reminded of a story a preacher was Dwight Thompson told years ago. He's talking about, he said he was preaching on faith. And these two ladies had ran, their car got hot. And so they had pulled up and they took the bedpan and they had a bedpan with the only thing they had to get water in. And so they went down to the little creek that was down there and they got that and they were pouring water. The man thought that they were pouring water in the gas tank. But he thought that they were pouring pee in the gas tank. And he said, now that takes real faith right there. Yeah, this is crazy. See, I got to put some humor in here. And so blind Bartimaeus wouldn't let his moment pass. I've seen people let their moment pass. I've seen drug addicts come bound and leave bound. Alcoholics come bound and leave bound. I've seen alcoholics come to the altar but not go all the way. I've seen drug addicts come to the altar and want deliverance and want help, but they didn't want full deliverance. I've seen people come that had a problem with pornography, but they weren't willing to throw the magazines away, willing to go, take it off the website. Get rid of the computer if you have to. I've dealt with people that were in homosexuality. They did good for a while, then they drift right back to that lifestyle. You got to make up your mind. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And if I need healing, I'm going to get my healing. Because Jesus is my healer. Jesus! Jesus is my deliverer. Jesus is my helper. Jesus is the one. So blind Bartimaeus wouldn't let it pass. Somebody say he wouldn't let it pass. He cried out. The religious people told him to stop. Stop, you don't need this, you don't want this. The Bible said he cried out the more. See, if you want it, nothing's going to keep you from it. I said, if you want it, nothing's going to keep you from it. I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray, I'm going to press, I'm going to push, I'm going to long for, I'm going to move toward God, because if he's promised it to me, then it's mine. Amen. It belongs to me. Amen. It is mine. Nothing, somebody say, nothing is going to take it from me. You have to be that way with the coming of Jesus, with the coming of the Lord. You have to make up your mind. Nothing is going to keep me from God's plan. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Somebody say, absolutely nothing. You got to be adamant about it. You got to stick with it. You got to understand, my God, the devil is going to do everything he can in his power to keep me from receiving my miracle, from receiving my healing, from being on fire the way that I want to. He's going to create all kinds of circumstances and do anything that he possibly can. But the moment the devil sees that you make up your mind and that you can't be deterred, he's going to back off. Amen? I said he's going to back off. I remember when I worked a secular job. I'm getting ready to close in a few minutes. Listen, the devil would come and he would tell me, I think Brother Hughes even touched on this some Wednesday night, what he was talking about. And so I would, the devil, man, he was giving me a hard time. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Man, I was praying and seeking God. I said, devil, if you don't shut up, I'm going to witness to 10 people. Well, he blabbed his mouth again, so I went and witnessed to 10 people. So the devil, I said, if you do it again, I'll witness to 5 more. And so you got to have a determination. So I went and witnessed to 5 more. But you know what? He backed off. I kept witnessing. Amen. Kept talking to people. And see, I understand today that my eyes being opened and that my life being touched and my life being changed hinges on one thing. Jennifer, go ahead and come on up. Hinges on one thing. It hinges on my ability to not let go of what he's bringing to me. Man, when he comes, when you know that he's here, when you know that he is present, and I want to tell you, he's present, he is here, you cannot let go. You got to say, my God. You see, the devil's saying, you don't be quiet, don't be calling on Jesus. You need to pick up the volume and live life loud right there and begin to say, Jesus, don't you dare pass me by. Jesus, I've got to have my healing. I've got to have my breakthrough. I've got to have help. My son's got to be born again. My daughter's got to be born again. Father God in heaven, I need you to move in my finances. I need a touch in my body. I need a breakthrough, God. You can't let up. You got to keep on pressing your way. I want you to stand with me. You got to keep pressing your way. You got to keep pushing. Somebody say, keep pushing. And say, this is the thing about the gospel. Is that the world only knows that the gospel works when they see it working in you. I said, did you hear me? The world only knows that God can meet their need if he's meeting your need. He only knows that they can be healed if you've been healed. So that's why it's so important today for me to understand when Jesus is giving this stuff right here, all of his purposes are redemptive. Listen, what shall be the end? I'm not focused on the end, because what Jesus wants is when you see those signs coming to pass, he says, step up and let your light shine. Step up and start doing what I said to do. Right now, you need to be more vocal than you've ever been, bolder than you've ever been, more on fire than you've ever been. You need to be touched like you've never been touched. Because I'm going to end with this. Jesus said this in Matthew 24. He said there's going to be such a level of deception that if it were possible, they would fool the very elect. The word is electos in the Greek. And this is what it means, and we don't get this. It means the best in the crop. The very best of a sect. The most on fire. The ones that are living it, breathing it, pressing toward Jesus. You think about this. Because he said, if it were possible, the very elect. See, if you're lukewarm, you will be deceived. If you're cold and indifferent, you will be deceived. Because a cold person and a lukewarm person goes the flow of the world. And they will agree with the world and hate the things that they're supposed to love and love the things that they're supposed to hate. There will be confusion in their minds. And they will be disheartened with church and they will fall away. I'm leaving you with the real truth this morning. He said, if it's possible, the very elect will be fooled. I'm going to tell you, we got to be like blind Bartimaeus. We say, God, I'm blind in the natural right now, but I can see with my spirit, man. And I know one thing, Jesus is here, the light of the world. He's the miracle worker, he's the healer, and I need more than I have right now. I want my sight. What do you want me to give you, Bartimaeus? Lord, that I might receive my sight. I want the fire. I want the goods. I want to be full of the love of God. I want to be all that you want me to be, and I do not want to be deceived, God, in this hour. I want to chase after you with everything within me, unrelenting, God, and not cave in to the weaknesses of the flesh. See, that's what it takes. We got to press and push and be on fire. Somebody said, be on fire. That's what you need more than anything else. So this morning, I want us to pray. I want you to pray. God, set me on fire. Lord, I don't want to be like the rest of the world. I want to be extraordinary. I don't want to be deceived, Lord, in this hour in which we're living at. I want to run this race well. I want to do it, Father God, with all the might and the strength that you've given me to do it and not cave in. I need you, Jesus. God, set me on fire. Lord Jesus, I know you're coming. Every head bowed right now. Listen, every head bowed. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ, he died for you on the cross. He gave his life for you on the cross so that you could be born again, saved. One of the worst things in the world that we can do is to live our life outside of the Word of God. See, the Lord is telling you today the price has been paid, his blood has been shed. Forgiveness of sin has been purchased. And if you will come to him today, and if you mean it with everything within you, and you want to be born again, he will save your life. But from that moment, you've got to walk with him. You've got to learn to walk with him. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross. Follow after Jesus. If you want eternal life, that's the cost. It costs you everything. Even though it's free, it costs you everything. It costs you a denial of yourself, taking up your cross, and following after Jesus. So this morning I challenge you. You want to go to heaven. You want to live a life that's free from the bounds of sin. You want to be free from all the junk that's going on in this world. Jesus is the one. He's here to open up your eyes. He's here to open your ears. He's here to change your life. He's here to strengthen you. He's here to help you today, whatever that you might need. Jesus is here. So today, what do you need? You need to be born again. I want you to come right now. You need to be saved. Maybe you're backslid, drifted away from God, and you need to come and just make restitution. You want to rededicate your life. I want you to come right now. This is no time to play around. This is the time to get serious with God. I want to be serious with Jesus right now. You want those sins washed away. You want to rededicate your life. I want you to come. You're saying, Jesus, I need you. I need your touch. I heard what that man was saying, but God, do you really do that? Yes, he does. He wants to not only touch your life today, he wants to so fill you and baptize you in his spirit and fire that you'll never be the same again. He wants to transform you. He wants to change everything about your life right now. If you're saying to yourself today, man, I know I'm ready to meet Jesus, but I need more fire. I want more fire. I want the truth of God to be in me like a burning fire. I want to be a better witness. I want to be stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then I want you to come in Jesus' name. I want you to come as well. Say, I need that today. God, I want more of you, Jesus. I don't want to ever be the same again. I want change and transformation in me right now in Jesus' name. Come in the name of Christ. Come in the name of Jesus.
Take away the dross. Take away the sin in me.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, set me on fire. Take away the dross. Take away the sin in me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Set me on fire.
To Christ.
Set me on fire.
Commit yourself to him. Say, I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to follow the world.
Lord, for you.
I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be on fire. I'm going to be what God wants me to be.
Set me on fire.
And do what blind Bartimaeus did. Chase after
take
Jesus.
Away the dross, take
chase
away the
after
sin
Jesus.
Me.
Say, Lord, I need you, God.
Lord,
I need you, God.
It's my desire.
Yes, Lord.
Ooh,
oh, thank you, Jesus.
To have your fire.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Ooh,
thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh,
thank you, Jesus. See, right now, chains are breaking. Bondage is melting. Ropes are burning off. God is at work right now. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I belong to you. And Lord, right now, I ask you, touch me fresh and new. I ask you, Lord, cleanse me from every sin. Wash me from all unrighteousness. I ask you today, create a clean heart in me. Renew a right spirit within me. Set me on fire. Jesus, I give you my life, everything, Lord. Use me for your glory and have your way. In the name of Jesus, and I thank you right now for your presence and your fire in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a praise right now. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to remind you about tonight. Service starts at 6 o'clock. And so we have a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. I need you to be here. I need your spirit to stand of my spirit. Locked together as one in Jesus' name. We're going to believe God to do great things tonight. His anointing to be up on that Patrick County praise team. His anointing to be up on us. And that the Lord would just graciously move. You never know what people need. Let there be, Lord, mighty signs and wonders that you release in this house, God.
Amen.
Up on hearts and lives.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
And let me say, if we really want to see God move, and we do,
amen,
and we
want
to see a change in this nation, then please come and support the young people tonight. Mm-hmm. And be the friendliest people they've ever met in their life.
Amen.
Amen. And it's up to you guys, but we're dependent on you to be here tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And support.
Amen.
This next generation.
That's right.
Because they need all the encouragement, help, and need to see a Christian.
Oh, it's an encouraging word tonight.
Amen.
It's a word straight from heaven to every young person. How many are young? Amen. Amen. It's going to be good, I can tell you that. Praise God. Greatest sign of all. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here. You're not just near, you are here. And I'm asking you to move in every heart and life. That when we leave this building right now, that God, that people that we see with our eyes come in contact with, the waitresses that will wait on us, help us to be sensitive to you. Father God, to bless them, to ask them if there's anything we can pray with them about. If you want to speak to them through us, God, that you will do it. Oh, Lord, bind up the broken in heart. Set at liberty to bruise. Break the power of dysfunction from off of every person. And we say today, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he turn his face toward you, lift his countenance to you. And may the Lord be gracious to you and may he grant you peace in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said amen and amen. I will see you tonight, 6 o'clock in that service.